I don't know what you think, but I think it'd be great to start every morning just like this. Wow. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Sometimes we just need to get recentered in life, don't we? Things happen. They come up in life. Things happen. I don't know if you think of it in a nautical theme, and I've shared this with some folks. We can be standing, maybe there's probably a YouTube video, I'm sure. People standing on the rocks and the waves come in and no more people standing on the rocks, right? They get blown off. Life has a way of doing that to us sometimes, doesn't it? It blows us off the rock. Psalm 71:3, David is saying to God, be my rock, be my fortress. And sometimes when those things in life that just come up, of course, they're always unexpected, and they knock us off the rock. And we're in the water, floundering, gulping, trying to get our breath. We just need to get back on the rock. The rock is still there. And as long as this church stays on the rock, as long as the rock, God, stays the foundation of this church will always be here. It's been in existence now for 39 years. The church, God's method for bringing people into the kingdom, okay? Not necessarily Grace Baptist Church, but the concept of church. God's method for Christians to grow to be more like Him. That has been in existence for some 2,000 years. Our part in that, here's the part to pop our balloon, okay? Our part has only been 39 years of that. Really insignificant, okay? We just need to remind ourselves of that. But in that 39 years, we have seen much, haven't we? Amazing things in those 39 years. We have seen much. We have learned much. Many people have done much over the years. And we have seen God's blessing on this local body. And yet, the work is still not done. Here's Mr. Encourager. 12,000 people just in the city limits. The work is not done. And God is not willing that any of them perish, but they all come to repentance. There is more work to do. There is more to see, more for us to learn, and more for us to grow. Would you bow your heads with me, please? God, we thank you again this morning as we highlight what you have done here at Grace. God, we want to give you all the honor and glory for it. But yet you also use us as instruments. And so, God, I pray that as we look at several passages here today, that each of us would examine ourselves and see where our level of commitment is to your church here in this community and what our commitment maybe should be. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Look at this verse. It's very powerful. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is not just a powerful statement. It is a powerful prophetic statement. Because Christ is saying, this church that I will build, okay, not Peter, I will build it. Jesus said, I'm going to build this church. And looking into the future, nothing will prevail against my church. That's a prophetic statement that he makes there. And we must remind ourselves, please, that we are not in a battle, a struggle with people, which is many times a downfall in a church. They just start, and then it blows into sides. And then this one side is gone. And think about this. Well, let's move on from there. We're not in a battle or a struggle with people. It's not about people not getting along with each other. It's not about having the right person to lead the church. Oh, if we could just get the right guy in here, okay? Now, hopefully y'all are thinking you got the right guy, but, you know, it's not about having the right guy. It's not about having the right programs. We've got to have the right programs. It's not about having the right ministries. It's not about trying to get people to work on these ministries. If we could just get more people to work in these ministries, grace would be even better at that point. It's not about that. It's a spiritual battle that we're in. God said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We as pastors or ministry leaders in this church, the wrestle is not with trying to get people involved or promoting something, just trying to get people to sign up on the stupid sign-up sheets on the bulletin board out there. You know, it's not about that. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's just a spiritual battle that we're in. Satan fighting against God. It's not about us. In this statement here that Jesus makes, there is a recognition that the gates of hell will fight against what God has here. But those forces of Satan will not prevail. Now, is that verse a verse about Grace Baptist Church? I would say no, it's not. It's about Christ's church. Because if it was about Grace Baptist Church, then it took Christ 1,961 years to plant his church here. His church has been in existence. Churches come and go, but his church will always be here. And the question that I want us to think about is, will grace be here when Christ returns? Some churches are already gone. Churches that once preached the gospel and stood for the truth, they're either not in existence or they no longer stand for the truth. God's church existed before Grace Baptist Church. And that's the reason that I believe we need to be very careful. We need to be aware, because churches do come and go. What can we do to be a usable instrument into the future? A usable instrument in God's fight to gather his kingdom in. Folks, that's why churches are here. God didn't give us his church so we could come in once a week and feel good. That is part of church. God gave us this thing called church because it is his instrument to bring in the rest of his kingdom. Not the question, how can we continue to grow? And I'm not talking about just numerically, okay? The last thing I want right now is another building program to double the size of the auditorium, okay? I'm a little busy right now. That would be great. I'm not talking about numerical growth. I'm talking about God-defined growth. How does God define growth? I was once involved in a church that never really got big by today's standards. But yet, when I look back at that church and the number of the people that have went on to the ministry from that church, success right there. That's growth. When I look at the way I grew spiritually in that church, it's not about numbers of people. God's growth is so much more than that. Churches grow deeper through discipleship. This is an element that must be a part of God's church. As we spoke of, in fact, last Wednesday night, we talked about the one another's that are in the Bible, the things that God says His church, Grace Baptist Church, is to be doing one to another. Love one another. It's mentioned 11 times in the New Testament. In case we missed it the first time, God repeated it 10 more times. We are to love one another. We are to be kind one to another, honor one another, receive one another, salute one another, serve one another, be patient with one another, forgive one another. Don't be a stumbling block one to another. Don't bite and devour. Don't provoke. Don't envy. We are to admonish one another. That means to put in mind. It's like, hey, this is going on. You know, the Bible says this about what's going on in your life right now. Put into mind. We are to teach one another, comfort one another, edify one another, exhort one another. That list there are four don'ts, things we're not supposed to do to one another. There were 13 do's. This is what we all need to do one to another. Imagine what it would look like if that would be our church. If churches did those things. They're kind. They honor one another. They receive one another. They serve each other. They're patient. They forgive. They admonish. They teach. They comfort. They edify. That means to build up. They're exhorting one another. Imagine if churches did those things. What personal growth would look like in our churches if those things were going on? What business meetings would look like if our churches did those things? Of the 13 do's that I mentioned, 5 of them, 38% of the one another's have to do with us interacting with each other with the Word of God. So it's not just the pastor or the Sunday school teacher's job. It is our job to interact with each other, 38% of these, with the Word of God. To cause people to take the next step in their spiritual growth. These were given to the church, the members, not the pastors, not the deacons, not teachers, not those that have had training. No training needed to do these things. And that's what we did just last Wednesday night. If you couldn't be here, go back on our Facebook or our website and you can watch that recorded service and how you don't need to have any training to help someone with the Word of God. Just sit down and read the Bible with them. It is so, so simple. As God's people, spend time in God's Word with God's people, growth happens. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, which is deceit, stealth, manipulations, okay? Lay aside those. Lay aside hypocrisies. Hypocrisies, you know what that is? Play acting. Lay aside play acting. What does that look like? Well, it looks like your power pack falling off your belt. What does that look like? We come into church, we're all cleaned up, gussied up in our Sunday best, got our Bible tucked under our arm, and I am Mr. Christian. And your family knows you're not. That's play acting. deceit, stealth, manipulations, inner workings, trying to get our way. Lay aside malice, guile, hypocrisies, and envies. They have what I don't, and that's not fair. Lay aside all evil speakings. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So instead of those things that we read in verse 1 as church members, because this was written to church members. Can you imagine a church with that stuff? They had to be told to lay it aside. There was. Instead of those things, look with me at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Instead of those things, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Verse 24, it says, consider. Let us perceive, take note of, detect, look more closely. How? How can we do this? By assembling together. Verse 25, it would say that. We can't, you can't do verse 24 if you aren't here when you could be. I am so thankful for our live streaming. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Whew, way above this pay grade. Yesterday I come in and the power was out, or the power had gone out Friday night. So in the building here, internet was shut down. There was nothing. I'm like, oh, how do I work without internet? You know, I was totally lost. So I got Jim on the phone. We're texting back and forth. I'm in the closet with a million wires and boxes and gadgets and gadgets all over the place. Okay, which button do I push? You know, we got it going. I don't have a clue what's going on there. And this has been such a huge vital ministry for outreach for our church. Absolutely. But it is also a crutch for those that could be in church and aren't, and they're satisfied with sitting at home, watching it on TV, not doing verse 24 and verse 25 of Hebrews 10. Not assembling, not coming together as a body. It can't be done. The Word of God, goes deep. And that's something that we need discipling for. Yes, you can have a problem. Yes, we can go sit down and have coffee. That's really good, by the way. And I can talk with you and you can ask questions, or you can ask six other people the same question and get a collective answer. And, oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. And it hasn't done a thing to change your heart. You could come to me with a problem and I could point out all the bad things about the problem that you have in your life and the wrong choice that you're making. And this is going to happen and it's going to result in this and this and that. And you're going to hurt these people and that people. And I may be able to convince you to modify your behavior, but that's all I can do. The Word of God goes deeper than that. Everything else is just our logic, our persuasiveness, our bells and whistles to hopefully bring about that behavioral change. It's shallow. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God gets past all of our preconceived ideas and notions about what's right and wrong. It gets past of the cultural influences that make it uncomfortable for us to do the right thing. And it goes right to the heart. It gets past all of the deceptive pretenses that we put up for people. It has a way of just peeling those layers back and poking us where we need to be poked, in the heart. That's where change takes place. We need the Word of God. Grace Baptist Church needs the Word of God, and not just from up here once a week. We need to disciple, to grow deeper using the Word of God. Second thing that's going to help grace to continue to grow. Churches grow broader through ministry. Yes, coming together and worshiping God. This must be a priority. And I've often put it this way. I've never had cancer, and maybe I'll think different about it once I have cancer. I don't know. But it seems to me when you get cancer and you got to go for chemo treatments, that's pretty important. And you make that a priority. Nothing's going to get in the way of you going to your chemo treatment. You wake up in the morning, oh, I just feel like sleeping in today. Not going to happen. You wake up in the morning, the day of your chemo treatment, and it's kind of rainy outside. Oh, did I see a snowflake? Oh no, the roads are terrible. It's not going to happen. You're going to your chemo treatment. You wake up in the morning and you realize, I've got a family get together. Not going to happen. You're going to be at your chemo treatment. Why? It's a priority. So is church. So should church be. I understand. Sometimes some things come up. I get that. But what is that the exception? Or is that a general rule of faith and practice for you? I remember growing up. Man, my parents were the first saved in the McPhillips line. And their salvation as young Christians in their early 20s with three kids when they came to Christ, they did only what they knew to do. And they did the best they could. The rest of the McPhillips family was unsaved. All my aunts, uncles, cousins, grandmas, grandpas, everything. Everybody. And whenever they came to our house, us kids loved it. Because we didn't have to go to church. Yes! That was more important than going to church. Maybe it shouldn't have been. Maybe it should have been. I don't know. It wasn't my decision to make. We have to make decisions for our lives. Is church going to be in a priority? The gathering together of believers. Look with me at Hebrews 10, not verse 24, verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Folks, this is a straightforward command. We must gather, and it says more and more as we see the day approaching. A little bit when we can, when it fits into our schedule, is not enough. It's not obeying God's command. Let's read the verses before that, just so we have context. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. Okay, let's take this just real quick, piece by piece. It starts with our faith. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. What we say we believe. What we say we are. We are Christians, right? So how do we show that? We are doing the things on verse 24. That's how we show it. But then we go to verse 25 and we show that we are holding fast to the profession of our faith, our claim that we made in verse 23. We're holding fast to that. We're showing that when we gather to worship. When someone fails to gather or to gather consistently, There's a problem. Church attendance is usually one of the first things to go or to get weak. We gather to worship God when we do gather, to focus on God. Everything about our worship services should be about God. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not. I've never seen it since I've been here. And if I did, there would be a problem. Christmas cantata, the guys that are in the choir, they know I tell them this every year. Their ties, I want no blinky snowman ties with little flashing lights. Press the button and it's saying, Frosty the Snowman. I don't want that. Why? Because when I'm up here with a blinky light tie, look at me. It's not about me. That's why we ask our ladies to dress modestly in a way that's not going, and it's not like skirts to your ankles, necklines to your neck, and a veil over your face. It's not about that. It's about dressing in a way that doesn't draw attention to your bodies, but instead to God. That's what it's all about. It's not about the musicians and a performance. It's not about, I want to sing in church and I want to sing right here because I think I have a solo voice. It's not about that. If someone approaches me like that, you ain't getting anywhere near this platform. I don't want performers up here. It's about God. We don't want people to notice us. We just want them to notice the direction we're directing them. Through what's being said here, through what's being sung, the words, okay? Do you notice we started a while back putting the words on the screen? That's why. Offertories, we have some great musicians here that can do some amazing things on the instruments. But if there's no words, it's just a performance. It's not directing anyone in their thoughts towards God. So we put the words on the screen so that that can take place. As we collectively worship God, our church, our body grows stronger. And what will stronger do for us? Can I take you back to the very first verse we read? The gates of hell will not prevail against us. Churches that stray from this command right here, die. And if we stray from this command, we die. Third thing that we can do, churches grow stronger through ministry. Ministry, that means minister, to serve. Jesus said it very plainly. Christian ministry or ministries is not authority. It's not about power and rulership, being the head of a ministry or part of a ministry. It's not about authority over other fellow believers. Ministry is service to others. That is what God's called each of us to. Ministry, service to others. Jesus said he came to serve, to minister. It didn't matter what he did. This is the creator of the universe. He didn't care what his position was. He just wanted to serve, to minister, whether it was foot washing. I mean, anyone could have done that. Jesus did it. And he was willing to do it. We have ministries here, folks, numerous ones. To have ministries, we need ministers. People willing to serve instead of wanting to be served. Each member
of every local church, I believe this, was placed in that church by God for function, to do something. A member, a.k.a. ministers, okay? The more ministries this body has, the more ministers we need. The more members we have, the more ministries we can have. The ministries we have, the more ministries we have, the broader this ministry becomes. Our church, one church member told me, one of the charter members told me that back in the beginning days, you know, well, back in the old days, yeah, it was that kind of a conversation. Back in the beginning days of grace, they said this, everyone did something. We had to. Because there was, what, this many? Before they got out of the basement of the house? Here's a danger point, I think, for churches like us. Nice buildings, paid for, a nice number of people, visitors that come on a regular basis, money in the bank, missionaries all around the world. Ah. Now, if we get the right guy leading it, we can sit back and just enjoy it all now. But what they don't realize, it's not about the machine that's been created in the last 39 years. The church is a body of believers organized in accomplishing what God wants done. Remember, it's a spiritual battle. Grace is what it is today. Grace is where it's at today and the way it is today, not because of what people did 39, 30, 25, 20 years ago. It is what it is today because God blessed what people did in years past. And if people don't continue to do those things, we lose God's blessings. There is no coast mode for a church. This can begin to crumble if we stop doing the things that's giving us God's blessing right now. When members start to relax, that makes Satan's day. Because now he's got a way in. Then he can start to bring it down. That's when churches begin to die. They stop being a ministry of ministers, servants. And they instead become a ministry of consumers. What will they bring me this week when I come? How will I be blessed when I go to church this week? How will the music move me? How will the worship service stir my heart? I didn't get anything out of it. You see, those are common thoughts and phrases that many people have. Can you see it's all self-focused? When we as a Christian come to our church, our focus should be on ministry, serving. The other, that's not the church that Christ built. That's not the church that God blesses, because it's not the church that God designed. He didn't design the church so that we could have a place to come and be fed. Here's the last one. How does grace continue to grow? Churches grow larger through evangelism. We just have to ask ourselves how much of this, not ourselves, I have to ask myself, how much of this do I do? And you have to ask yourself, how much of this do you do individually? As a church, we need to ask ourselves, how much of this do we as a church do just in the community of Taylorville? Can everybody just do it on their own throughout the week? Absolutely. How many of you passed out a tract or told someone about Jesus last week? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if I did, I wonder how many hands would go up. You mean a whole week interacting with people and you didn't share Jesus with anyone? Jesus could have come back yesterday and they'd be burning in hell today. You see, churches need to provide an organized approach as well. Intentional approach. All 12,000 people in Taylorville, we did not interact with all 12,000 last week. Some of them died, maybe not knowing Christ. As a church, we need to intentionally be reaching out to satisfy the way churches grow larger. Oh, we could try it other ways, couldn't we? Like the one church I mentioned a few weeks ago, someone in the church had donated $10,000 for the purpose of getting visitors to come. Every visitor that came, they'd get a ticket. It goes into a hat. At the end of the service, they'd pull out one of the tickets. And if it was your ticket, you got $100 or $500 just for being a visitor there that day. And they did that till the $10,000 was gone. Wow, we could get some people here, couldn't we? Whew. I'd be sliding my ticket in there every week. I think I would quit the church so that next week I could be a member or a visitor and then get a ticket put in there. That's the wrong way to grow a church. Because what happens when the $10,000 runs out? All the visitors run out. What you get someone to come, the thing that attracts a person to your church, the thing that you get them to come with, that's what you have to continue to do or you lose them. Years ago, I had someone from another church that was different than ours. You know, they had a different approach to worship. And I'm not saying one way is wrong or the other. But their approach to worship attracted a lot of people. And they said this, as far as the youth department, is when I was the youth pastor here. They said, here's what we've noticed. When we turn the music off, no one's interested in hearing about God. They weren't there for God. In that case, churches grow larger through evangelism. Psalm 126 and verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We go and we bear seed. We have to plant the seed, folks. What is the seed? Jesus. Invitations to come to church, those are good. But they never led anyone to Christ. From Acts, we know that the early church had a twofold strategy to reach the city with the gospel. It was their vision, so to speak. First, the early church, we read about them being in the temple. And second, they were in every house. But also the house or the temple, that was the, I guess, analogy wise, that was the sphere of the worshiping community. Community of believers, reaching people through that. But in Acts, it clearly says they went from house to house. Now, does that mean on a Saturday morning, we're going down the street, knocking on the doors, trying to beat the Jehovah's Witness down the other side of the street, okay, or the Mormons, whoever they are, with the backpacks and the white shirts? I'm not saying it means that. My knuckles get tired banging on doors all Saturday morning. But it's the individual, us going to individuals to tell them about Jesus. I'll tell you what, Jesus is the only thing that changed my life. Growing up, my daddy had a good way to change my behavior. We're not going to talk about that. Years of therapy have gotten me past the PTSD, okay? But he had a way to modify my behavior. As I got to be a teenager, more behavior modification. At church, I wanted people to like me, to think I was a good kid, so I'd modify my behavior. But Jesus changed this when I was 19. And then when this got changed, the rest began to change from that day forward. I remember the early days here at Grace. And I'll be honest, physically, sometimes I'm like, whew, I'm glad we don't do that anymore. But then when I look at it spiritually, I remember the early days. Every Thursday night, I was out with Pastor Newman and all the deacons. Some of you guys maybe remember that. Every Thursday night, we were out making visits. Every Saturday morning, we were out talking to people. Churches grow larger through evangelism. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. When it says the people perish, here's what that means. People cast off restraint. It doesn't necessarily mean they physically die. People cast off restraint. Restraints are good. Restraints keep us on the straight and narrow. Restraints keep us doing what we should be doing as Christians, as church members, as ministers. And if there's no vision, the restraints are cast off. Today, the people of God, we can either evangelize or we can fossilize. How do we reach our community? We can't just sit here and say, bless God, we are here to reach the community of Taylorville. We can't talk about how that's what we want to do. We have to do it. How can we reach our community? Sometimes churches look for better methods. But God is really just looking for Christians that are willing to do the work of evangelism. The church doesn't always need more new and improved methods or gimmicks or special days. I remember years ago, we used to have a friend day. Do you remember we had a friend day every so often and we'd invite our friend to come for friend day? And I remember one time afterwards or somewhere around there, I'm only your friend one day a week. If I'm your friend, how come you didn't invite me last week? And we don't need different special days or emphasis. Rather, the church needs men and women whom the Spirit can use for His purposes. Willing to be servants, willing to be instruments used by God. The mission of the church is to preach and teach Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. Every believer is given a command to be a missionary. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. You're going to recognize it. The Great Commission, right? Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Or unto the end of the world. You know what's interesting about that? The church didn't even exist when Jesus said those words. So who was he commissioning? The Great Commission too. Individual believers. I believe that we are at a critical point for a church to be in. Because God has blessed us so much. And it would be so easy to just put it in coast mode until I can no longer be here and then let the next guy worry about whatever's going on. But in the space of that time, if we don't have God blessing this ministry, we lose his blessing, then we lose all these things that we think are wonderful. Everything that we see around us one day, it's all going to be burned up. And Saturday morning when I was trying to get the internet going, I was totally okay with that. I was like, praise Jesus, these 3 million wires are all going to be melted down to nothing one day and it won't matter. But I do know right now, I've got to get online, okay? I've got to get the Wi-Fi back into the building here. We are at a critical point, folks. Maybe we can just continue to coast and bring in money and keep some programs going, keep people coming. But if we're not bringing people into the kingdom, what does it matter? If we're not growing spiritually, what does it matter? We have seen all of those things taking place in the last 39 years. I want it to continue. And not just continue, I want to see it expand. You look at those early Christians, the early church, they didn't just expand, they multiplied exponentially. With no programs, no buildings, no choirs. They just went out and told people about Jesus. Would you make that commitment today? Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, God, help us. Help us to not mess up what you've done here at Grace. So many people have put in so much time and hours being used by you, doing these things that I have talked about. And God, we need to be committed to doing these things if Grace continues to be usable by you, an instrument for you in this community. God, help each of us here this morning to examine our hearts and maybe make some commitments or recommitments, whatever the case may be. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please.